Ready for a wild ride? Today, we're diving deep into Hindu cosmology.
We're talking about a place where the multiverse isn't science fiction, it's ancient wisdom.
Right. Forget telescopes and theories. We're going back to the source, Hindu myths.
Those epic tales that have been passed down for generations.
They actually describe a multiverse. And get this, long before modern science even thought about it.
It really makes you wonder how these ancient cultures were able to explore such vast concepts.
Like they were really onto something, right?
And what's fascinating is how these ancient ideas, like the multiverse, are actually becoming even more relevant today.
Especially with all our new scientific discoveries.
Exactly. It's mind-blowing.
And the best part is we're not just talking about some vague idea of other realms here.
He had a whole system, a structure for how the multiverse works.
A structure? Like what?
Think of it like 14 distinct lokas.
Lokas.
Yeah, 14 different planes of existence.
Okay, so like levels of reality.
Yeah, you could think of it that way. Yeah. And these weren't just random, isolated places.
So how are they connected?
They were thought to be interconnected, each with its own vibrational frequency, its own types of inhabitants, and even, get this, its own laws of reality.
Hold on. Different laws of reality.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, imagine a cosmic apartment building.
A cosmic apartment building. Okay, I kind of like where this is going.
But instead of tenants, you've got gods, sages, and being so fantastical.
Fantastical how? Give me some examples.
Oh, you know, beings that would make unicorns look totally ordinary.
Okay, now you've got my attention. So tell me more about this cosmic apartment building.
All right, so at the very top, you have Satyaloka. Satyaloka.
The abode of Brahma, the creator himself.
Okay, so that's like the penthouse suite then, right?
The ultimate penthouse. Unparalleled views of, well, everything.
Sign me up. Although, knowing my luck, I'd probably end up with the cosmic equivalent of a noisy neighbor.
Well, there's a catch.
Isn't there always?
Even in Svarga.
Which is?
It's another realm, one that's often described as this place of intense beauty, pleasure, and wish fulfillment. Imagine a realm where every desire is granted.
Every desire. Okay, now we're talking.
But even in Svarga, the experience of pleasure, it's temporary.
Temporary.
Fleeting, even. The inhabitants, even with their, you know, celestial status, are still bound by karma.
Karma. You mean like what goes around comes around?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the cycle of birth and death.
Ah, so even paradise has an expiration date. That's kind of a downer.
But it makes you think, right?
It does. It makes you think.
If even the gods aren't exempt from that cycle of existence, what does that mean for us?
For us down here, just trying to figure things out, it's a question that lies at the heart of Hindu cosmology, really.
Okay, so it's deeper than just these stories, these myths.
Much deeper. These myths weren't just meant to be fantastical stories, right? They were tools.
Tools for what?
Tools for understanding. Understanding the nature of reality, the human condition. You know, our place in the grand scheme of things.
Our place in the universe. It's like each story, each character, each realm, they're all a piece of this giant puzzle.
Exactly. And when you can start putting those pieces together, you start to get a glimpse into a worldview that's both awe-inspiring and really thought-provoking. Awe-inspiring and thought-provoking. That's a good way to put it.
And speaking of awe-inspiring, have you ever heard the story?
What story?
Of how baby Krishna revealed the entire universe.
Baby Krishna?
Yeah.
One of the most, well, I guess, beloved deities in Hinduism.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And how he reveals the entire universe, actually multiple universes.
Multiple universes.
Inside his mouth.
All right, wait. Inside his mouth. Okay, now, even I have to admit, that one sounds a bit far-fetched.
It does, doesn't it?
And even for me. Are we talking about literal universes here?
Or some kind of cosmic metaphor?
Yeah.
It's a story that's both, really.
Both. Okay, I'm intrigued. Tell me everything.
So picture this. Krishna's mother, Yashoda, she's trying to feed him, right? But he's being, well, let's just say a typical mischievous child.
I know the feeling.
Finally, she gets him to open his mouth. And instead of seeing, you know, a toddler's tongue.
She sees what? Don't leave me hanging.
She sees the entire cosmos. Swirling galaxies, planets, stars, the whole shebang.
The whole shebang, huh?
But here's the kicker. It's not just our universe. She sees countless other universes. All existing at the same time.
All at the same time. That's a lot to process. Inside one baby's mouth.
All within baby Krishna's mouth. It's a pretty wild image when you think about it.
Wild is an understatement. I mean, we're talking about staring into the heart of a nebula.
And it's bursting with colors and possibilities.
So many possibilities that it's almost impossible to understand. But what does it all mean?
That's the question, isn't it?
What are these ancient storytellers trying to say?
The story of Krishna revealing the universe. It's a metaphor, you see.
A metaphor for?
A metaphor for this idea that reality is far grander and more mysterious than we can even begin to imagine.
More mysterious than we can imagine. And here I thought I had a good imagination.
It suggests that what we perceive with our limited senses is just a tiny, tiny fraction of what actually exists.
Okay, so let me get this straight. We've got this cosmic apartment building with 14 floors, each one more incredible than the last.
Right.
Right. And on top of that, we have a baby who can fit the entire multiverse in his mouth.
That's a lot to take in.
It is. And you know what?
Yeah.
I think I need a bigger imagination.
You might just be right about that. And we're just getting started.
We are. There's more.
Because next, we're going to delve into the fascinating world of avatars.
Avatars. Like those divine beings.
The very same. The ones who take on different forms to, you know, restore balance in the cosmos.
So they're like cosmic superheroes.
You could say that. Think of it like a cosmic game of dress up.
A cosmic game of dress up. Okay, that's one way to put it.
But with incredibly high stakes, we're talking about the fate of the universe here.
Oh, I do love a good costume change.
Yeah.
Especially when it involves saving the universe. But before we get there, I have a question about these avatars.
Go ahead, shoot. What's on your mind?
So before we wandered off on that other tangent, we were about to really dive into the fascinating world of avatars.
Oh, yeah, the avatars.
And honestly, this is one of those concepts that always kind of sends shivers down my spine.
Yeah, it's a big concept.
Because it's like, imagine the universe is a stage, and then these divine beings are like putting on this cosmic play, you know, with every appearance.
Yeah. You know, it is a fantastic analogy.
Yeah.
And it is. It really is one of those things that when you think about it, it does send shivers down your spine when you consider, like, the implications of it all.
Oh, really?
And, you know, in Hinduism, you'll hear this term, this word lila.
Lila.
Which essentially, when you try to translate it, it means, like, divine play.
Divine play.
Yeah. And so it suggests that the whole of creation, the whole thing.
The whole universe, ever.
Including the appearance of avatars.
Yeah.
Is part of this, like, grand cosmic drama.
So it's not just, like, special effects.
Right.
And dramatic entrances. You know what I mean? Like, they're not just showing up for the applause.
Exactly, exactly.
There's a deeper meaning.
A much deeper meaning.
Behind these avatars.
Absolutely.
Okay, so what is it? Why are they here? What's the purpose?
So each avatar serves a specific purpose.
Okay.
And they often will appear at a time of, like, great imbalance in the universe.
Imbalance.
Yeah, or when, you know, the forces of chaos are threatening to just overwhelm everything.
Overwhelm the cosmos.
Yeah, and they incarnate to uphold Dharma.
Dharma.
Which can be understood as, you know, cosmic order, righteousness.
Righteousness.
The path of virtue.
Okay.
Lots of different ways to think about it.
So they're like, almost like the universe has this, like, immune system.
Okay.
And these avatars are like the antibodies.
Okay, I like.
That are fighting off, like, whatever's, you know, threatening the balance.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it.
And I'm guessing that each avatar has their own, like, you
know. Yeah.
Their own unique style.
Absolutely.
Like, their own way of tackling these cosmic threats.
100%.
Okay.
Yeah, so, like, take Vishnu, for example.
Vishnu, okay.
One of the principal deities in Hinduism.
Okay.
And he is often depicted as having 10 primary avatars.
That's 10?
10, yeah. And they each have their own distinct, you know, personality, powers, and then, of course, their own stories.
So it's kind of like, you know, how there's always that one friend in your group.
Yeah.
Who just knows how to handle every situation.
Right.
Vishnu's like, you know, hold my cosmic beverage.
Yeah, I got an avatar for that.
I've got an avatar for that, exactly.
So, it's a good one.
So give me some examples.
Okay, so you have Parashurama.
Parashurama, okay.
The fierce warrior rids the earth of corrupt kings.
Nice. All right, so we got the warrior. What else?
You got Rama.
Rama.
The epitome of virtue and heroism.
Virtue and heroism.
Who battles the demon king Ravana.
Okay.
To rescue his beloved Sita.
High stakes.
High stakes, big time. And then, of course, there's Krishna.
Krishna, yeah.
The divine strategist.
Okay.
And Charioteer.
Charioteer.
Who guides Arjuna on the battlefield.
Okay.
In the Bhagavad Gita.
The Bhagavad Gita, one of the
One of the most important scriptures.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, Hinduism.
So it's like each avatar is kind of like a response.
Yeah, it's like a specific response.
So a specific challenge.
Yeah.
Specific need within the universe. That's really interesting. And these stories, these myths about their exploits, it's not just entertainment, right?
Yeah, no.
They're trying to teach us something.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You're exactly right. You're hitting the nail on the head here.
What are they trying to tell us?
The stories of the avatars, they're like cosmic parables.
Cosmic parables, okay.
And they're offering us guidance.
Guidance on what?
On how to navigate the complexities of life.
Okay.
How to confront our own inner demons.
No, that's a good one.
And ultimately, how to live a more dharmic life.
How to live a more dharmic life.
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
It's just, it's so fascinating how these ancient stories, you know, still resonate with us today.
I know, it's amazing.
Even if we don't always, you know, see the deeper meaning, right?
Right.
Right. Sometimes you just enjoy the story.
Right, you just enjoy the ride.
But then sometimes, you know, something clicks.
Totally.
And you're like, oh, wait a minute.
There's something deeper here.
There's something deeper going on here.
Yeah.
And that's really, really cool.
Mm.
But here's what I'm curious about.
Yeah.
How does this all tie back to the idea of the multiverse?
Okay.
Because we've got these avatars, right? These divine beings manifesting in all these different forms throughout time. But are they hopping between universes too?
That's where things get really, really interesting.
Okay, lay it on me.
All right. So in Hindu cosmology, time isn't linear.
It isn't.
It's not like a straight line.
Okay.
It's cyclical.
Cyclical.
Yeah. So we experience time as the straight line.
Yep.
But in this cosmology, it's more like a spiral or a wheel.
A spiral or a wheel, constantly turning.
Constantly turning, yeah.
Okay.
And there are these epochs of creation and destruction that are known as yugas.
Yugas. Okay, got it.
And so each yuga has its own.
So are you saying that each yuga?
Yeah.
Each cycle of time,
yes,
could be its own distinct reality, like its own.
Sure, but you got it.
Its own expression of the multiverse.
Oh, 100%.
Oh, wow. That's a lot.
Yeah. So each yuga has these its own characteristics.
Own challenges.
Its own set of challenges.
Triumphs.
Triumphs. Exactly. And just as Vishnu manifests these different avatars in response to these specific needs, you could say that these avatars, they're like actors playing different roles on this vast cosmic stage of the multiverse.
So it's not just different realms like existing side by side.
Right.
But it's also like different versions of reality unfolding throughout time.
Yeah, you're getting it.
That's a lot.
It's a lot to wrap your head around.
That's really, really wild. It's like the universe is a kaleidoscope, just constantly shifting and rearranging itself into like infinite possibilities.
Infinite possibilities, exactly. And that brings us to probably one of the most, well, let's just say mind-bending concepts in Hindu thought.
Which is?
The idea that what we perceive as reality might just be an illusion.
An illusion.
Yeah, it's a concept that's known as Maya.
Maya, like, are we going Matrix here?
A little bit, maybe a little bit.
Okay.
So imagine you're watching a magician perform, right?
Okay, I'm picturing it.
Okay, Maya is like the magician's illusion.
Okay.
That's making you believe something that isn't really real.
Okay, so you're saying that the world isn't real.
Well, not quite. Not quite. Excellent. It's not that, like, nothing is real. But it's saying our perception of it, the way we experience this world as separate and distinct, is all filtered.
Built through
this lens of Maya.
So it's like we're seeing the world through a distorted mirror.
That's a great way to put it.
But the mirror itself isn't the problem. It's our perception, right?
Exactly.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Because it's like, how many times have we, you know, thought one thing was true?
Right.
And it turned out to be totally different.
Right. Our perceptions can deceive us.
Exactly. But if our perception is being tricked by this Maya,
yeah,
what's the real reality?
The $1 million question, right?
Right.
It's the question that, you know, Hindu philosophers have dedicated their lifetimes to try and understand and unpack.
So what is it, do you know?
Well, it's not a simple answer, but the way that they talk about it is underlying this illusion of separation, there's this belief in a fundamental oneness.
Oneness.
Yeah, an ultimate reality that, like, permeates everything.
So we're all connected.
Yeah.
Trees sharing the same roots.
100%.
But we just don't see it.
We don't see it.
Because we're so caught up.
We're blind.
In this illusion of separation.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And that's where these schools of thought like Advaita Vedanta come in.
Advaita
literally means non-dual.
Non-dual.
And it really emphasizes the oneness of all of existence.
Okay.
Suggesting that, you know what? We're not separate selves.
We're not.
No, but we are expressions of the single universal consciousness.
Of the single universal consciousness. Okay, so not separate.
Not separate.
But all connected.
All connected. Yeah, and this is often referred to as Brahman.
Brahman.
Brahman. B-R-A-H-M-A-N.
Brahman. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, my brain is officially starting to hurt, but in a good way.
There's a lot to process, I know.
It is a lot to process, but it's good. It's good. It's like all these concepts, the Lokas, the avatars, Maya.
Yeah.
It's like they're all pointing towards this bigger picture of
Yes.
interconnectedness, right? A
Yes.
reality that's far more, I don't know, it's more profound
It
and
is.
mysterious than like we can even imagine.
Than we could possibly imagine.
But if this Maya is so powerful, right?
Yeah.
And if it's so easy to kind of get caught up in this illusion,
Right, because it's so convincing.
it's very convincing. What can we do about it?
That's the question, right?
How do we break free?
Well, and that's where these, the teachings of Hindu philosophy come into play.
Yeah.
Practices like yoga and meditation,
Yoga, meditation.
studying ancient scriptures like the Upanishads,
The Upanishads.
they're all tools to help
The
us
souls.
quiet the mind, see through the illusion, reconnect with that underlying unity.
So it's like we've been handed this like incredible map to the cosmos,
Okay.
but it's written in a language that, we're just starting to understand. We're just
It
starting to kind of decipher it all.
takes time, it takes practice, it takes patience.
So much to learn, so much to
And
explore.
the more we learn, the more we realize how much there still is to discover.
It's kind of an amazing feeling
It
to
is.
realize how little we know
It is.
in a good way.
Yeah, it's humbling.
It's humbling. But speaking of discoveries, have you ever heard of Brahma's dream?
Brahma's dream. Oh, yeah.
What is that? Okay, so Brahma's dream, you mentioned it right before the break, and now I really want to know more
Brahma's dream.
because it's like we've explored this cosmic apartment building.
Yeah.
We met the ultimate multitasker,
Who's that?
Baby Krishna.
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking at you.
Of course.
And like, we even questioned the nature of reality
We're
itself.
going deep.
We went really deep today.
Deep dive.
So, what other like mind-bending wonders await?
Well, get ready for another layer here.
Okay.
Because Brahma's dream kind of takes this idea of Maya, this grand illusion, to a whole other level.
Okay.
Imagine if, like, the entire universe, right, with all of its vastness and complexity, was just a dream.
The entire universe is just a dream.
A dream dreamt by Brahma, the creator god.
So Brahma is like the ultimate dreamer.
In a sense, yes.
And we're all just like figments of his imagination.
That's one way to think about it.
I hope he's having a good dream.
Right.
But no, seriously, like, what are the implications of this?
Okay.
Because is it saying that nothing we do really matters?
Okay, so that's a great question.
Because it's all just a dream,
It's
right?
a question that's puzzled philosophers,
I bet.
for centuries.
Yeah.
But the thing about Brahma's dream is it's not about like diminishing the significance of our actions. It's not saying that, life is meaningless. If
Okay.
it's all a dream, who cares? It's not saying that.
Okay, good.
Instead, it's about encouraging a shift in perspective.
A shift in perspective.
It's asking us to consider, what if all of our experiences, right?
Okay.
Our joys and sorrows, our triumphs and failures are all part of something much, much grander,
Something bigger than ourselves.
way bigger, like this cosmic dream that's unfolding
Yeah.
according to this divine script that, we may not fully comprehend,
Yeah.
but it's still unfolding.
It's like, those moments
Yeah.
when you're so engrossed in watching a movie
Okay, yeah.
and you suddenly remember, oh, wait a minute.
Right.
This is just a
And this
story.
is all made up.
These are just actors
Right.
playing roles.
Right.
Right. But it doesn't, like, you don't love the movie any less for it. In
Exactly.
fact, you might even appreciate it
On a deeper level.
on a deeper level.
Yeah.
That's a good
Well, it's
analogy.
a really good way to think about it.
Yeah, it really is. So Brahma's dream
Yeah.
doesn't negate any of like the beauty
It doesn't.
or the wonder of this world,
It
right?
doesn't.
But it's just asking us to expand our definition of what's real.
That's it.
That's a great way to put it. And that's a good note to end on.
That is.
As we wrap up our deep dive into Hindu cosmology,
Absolutely.
it's really amazing to think about, these ancient myths,
Thousands of years old.
thousands of years old, and these stories that have been passed down like
Yeah.
generation after generation after generation,
I know.
that they're still grappling with these like big
They're
questions.
timeless.
They are timeless
Yeah.
about the nature of reality, about consciousness, about our place in the universe. It's humbling
It is
when
humbling.
you think about, where we come from and what we're trying to understand here.
And how much we still don't know.
And how much we still don't know.
Which is, that's part of the fun of it all.
It is. It is. It's like we've been on this incredible journey.
We have.
We've explored these vast realms of Hindu cosmology.
All the different layers.
We met these fascinating characters. We contemplated these like truly mind-bending concepts.
That's what we do here.
And it all started, you know, we started with these 14 lokas.
14 levels of existence.
Right. Then we encountered avatars, these cosmic superheroes.
Trying to save the day.
Saving the day. And then we ended up, here we are, pondering the nature of reality itself through the lens of Brahma's dream.
It's been quite a ride.
It really has.
Yeah.
And it's amazing to me how much, you know, depth and richness there is to these ancient
Oh,
traditions.
absolutely. There's always more to learn. Always more to learn. And that's what's so exciting about it, because with each new discovery, with each new perspective, we kind of inch closer
And get closer
to understanding this vast mystery of existence.
of why we're here.
Exactly. And that's what it's all about. This has been the deep dive,
It has.
and we'll catch you in the next episode.